with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Mm. Welcome back. You are listening to Grilling Guys and the Grilling Guys Chomp Network. I have Mr. Sobey from Sobey Meats sitting beside me, and we were gonna do down the meat case, and we were gonna switch types of protein between segments, but I'm telling you what, we are not leaving beef, because the man just cut up a piece of tri-tip, and I'm going to shut up and let him tell you about it while I finish chewing this.
I was watching you chew. It's like my mouth was watering. We got a mouthful of tri-tip, and we shouldn't have like a hearty cabin. By gosh, we got one just to kind of wash that back with. Yeah, it turns out nice.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Beef tri-tip is a really versatile cut of meat. Comes out of the hind quarter. And we've done them as a roast, so you can put them in your smoker or on the grill as a whole chunk. And they're maybe a pound and a half. We've got a couple behemoths around 3 pounds. That's a rarity. But a nice solid muscle meat in there. Very delicious for flavor. Very tender. And you can cut them into like a sizzler. But a lot of times we'll just do them whole, and then we'll slice them up when we get them to a good medium rare. Put them on a pretzel bun, some caramelized onions, maybe a piece of provolone on there. And so you can do it as a standalone sizzler or just the beef, or make a nice sandwich out of it.
I'm going to tell you what, that guys, if you've not tried one of these tri-tips, this is money meat. It really is. Now, Tim, in the price category, we haven't dove into anything on pricing, but this is not one of the most expensive cuts, but it's not the cheapest cut in the case either.
No, I call this a middle of the road.
Right.
So if you get a less expensive cut, a ball tip sizzler, a boneless sirloin, which is, as you know, still my favorite, you know, is a bone in sirloin. But the tri-tip is part of that bottom sirloin meat. And it's, you know, you're going to be in that $9, $10, depending on where you go. Some places get $11 or $12. But it's a little bit less than you're going to pay for a ribeye or a porterhouse or a T-bone, and still, what an awesome flavor, though.
Yeah, and you made a comment earlier that if the meat is next to or contains a little connective tissue, is there's a lot of flavor there. And I don't mean to gross everybody out, but this is a man that understands his craft. And when you're looking at a hanging quarter, you're not looking at it like I would look at it. You're looking at it as like there's a lot of complexity there, and you're digging in and finding this stuff for us. And that isn't going to happen in a lot of big box stores. You don't have maybe last week I was the aisle manager in hardware, and now I'm a butcher, and that doesn't quite get that bad. But you know what I mean?
No, you're about right on it, because most of those big box stores don't do their cutting. Everything comes in pre-cut, pre-packaged. You're basically a shelf stock boy.
Right, yeah. And it's a world of difference in the butcher shop. Trust me on this one. Okay, Tim, cut me up another piece of this tri-tip, and while you're running the knife, we're going to dive into the king of barbecue, whether it be smoking, grilling, or grinding, is that he just handed Brian a big old hunk of tri-tip on the end of the knife. Gotta love it. But the king of all meats on the grill is pork, right? And everybody does, ribs. Everybody does pulled pork, everybody does brats, but nobody does them like you. And so I want to dive into this a little bit. Let's talk about cuts of pork, because I'm not sure there's as many as there are in cuts of beef. And why is that?
Part is the size of the animal. So on the loin of beef, you would actually have more of a breakdown between a T-bone, well, starting at the front of the animal, a ribeye, and then into the T-bone, the porterhouse, the sirloin. So it's not as defined. It's called more a basic pork chop.
Okay.
So right there, you're taking out a lot of cuts. And because it's a smaller animal, smaller muscles, things are grouped together a little bit more like on a pork butt.
Right.
You don't have the definition of those individual muscles like on beef.
And interestingly enough, a pork butt is really not the butt of the hog.
Correct. That's in the shoulder.
Right. Front shoulder.
Front shoulder.
The back is what, ham?
Yep.
And right.
What they would call the ham of the hog is that back thigh, that mm-hmm. back leg.
Right. So why are there some pork chops that are boneless and some that are bone in? Is it a flavor thing? Is it a, why is that? Or just because of the offering?
No, as they started doing away with the craft of meat cutting, everything started going to boneless cuts. So actually, the boneless chops, where you'd take those off the pork loin, on the back side of that, if you left the bone on, like a bone-in pork chop, that's where your baby back ribs come from. Below that, then, would be your spare ribs or, you know, your St. Louis ribs are really getting popular, so we can touch about that later.
Right.
But getting that boneless loin off is people were looking to get that, just take it home, that simple boneless cut, throw it in, no waste kind of a thing. But folks, anytime you cook on the bone, you're always going to get flavor and moisture.
Both. And that is a huge tip. Maybe you don't like having the bone on the plate. Personally, I don't buy him any other way, because he's absolutely correct, is that the moisture that that bone holds in there and the flavor when it's cooking, you cannot replace that with anything but what's there. Mother Nature put it there for a reason, and you're going to want to try it that way. Now, if you don't like that, you know, man up, I guess, is where I'm at, because that's the best way to eat it. But there's a lot of other ways that you can have it that are perfectly fine. Now, the next thing I want to do is let's talk about the difference between baby back ribs and St. Louis ribs, because so many times the St. Louis racks are wider, flatter, bigger. The baby backs are smaller, but yet the baby backs are more than those big flat ones. Why is that?
Just supply and demand. And there again, like with the chicken wing, why is that chicken wing so much more expensive? Is it's supply and demand. So actually, do the St. Louis ribs or spare ribs. There's
same name, right?
Well, the St. Louis ribs come off from the spare ribs.
Okay.
So if
Sure.
Yep. So if you break off like the sternum right in the middle, all that connective cartilage that's in
those rib tips.
Those are the
burn
rib
ends
tips
and things that they talk about, right?
Yep. Yep. So part of the spare rib, you'd have the St. Louis ribs and then down to the rib tips.
Right.
And the St. Louis ribs, I've been saying for years, there's so much more meat and more flavor. I'll eat baby backs. You know, it's meat. I'm going to eat it.
Right, yeah.
But if I'm going to do it for myself, I'm going to do a St. Louis rib any day of the week over baby back.
Well, there you have it. I mean, you got a guy that is meat case is full of this stuff. He can have anything he wants. He's going to do the spare ribs. Why? Because they're thicker and they're longer, and they're going to provide as much or more flavor as you have in the baby back ribs. Now, why do people buy baby back ribs? Hard for me to say. Are they more tender, or what's the lure there?
There again, it's that marketing.
Sure.
That how much have we had baby backs pounded into us? If you go out to any restaurant and you're going to get ribs, what do they have? Baby backs. So
right.
There again, it's that familiarity that people have. Well, I want the baby backs. But and sometime, you know what I'd tell anybody, get a rack of each. Take a baby back. Take either a spare rib or, you know, cut it down and have the St. Louis rib and do them up side by side, everything identical, and let your taste buds be your own judge and see what you think.
Right. Now, a couple things about the ribs, whether they're spares or baby backs, is there's a membrane on the back of there that is a normal part of the animal. You want to pull that membrane off there before you cook, in my opinion. Some people don't do it. They do it after they're cooked, but I prefer to have it off there before they're cooked, because it acts kind of like a little shield from getting the seasoning and the sauces onto the meat if you leave that membrane. And it's on the underside of both of those cuts. But if you pull it off of there, the seasonings penetrate a little bit better, and you end up with, in my opinion, a better product when it's done. Would you agree?
Yeah, you don't have a little bit of the chewiness with it, but many, many times I left it on. If competition, you would never leave that on there. Always take it off.
Right.
But it's easy to get off there, and for the work of it, take a minute, grab a towel, pull that membrane off, and you'll be glad you did.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's move back a little bit further on the hog. We're pretty high on the hog now. You making your own bacon. Okay,
yeah.
Where's that come from, and what are the reasons why I know your bacon is better than I can buy in the store from the mass produced? What are you doing to it?
Well, one is we're starting with our local bellies. off our local pork. And they'll call it the belly. It's actually higher up on the outside of the ribs all the way down to the sternum. So they just call it the pork belly. So those are a way thicker slab of that belly meat. And then we smoke it ourselves, hardwood smoked hickory. We don't do any liquid smoke. There again, time and temperature. Other guys, they might get their bellies done in 4, 5, 6 hours. Ours take 12 to 14 hours in a smokehouse.
Yeah.
It makes a way better bacon.
Now,
and the brine is the other trick.
Yeah, so this is a piece of meat that you are advocating that you brine.
Yes.
Right.
You have to brine it if you're going to be doing bacon. So you got to get it to cure. But even if you do is just fresh pork belly, braise it off or smoke it off, just have that. It's really rich, but holy crap balls, is it delicious.
Yeah. Our friend Matt Jack has a pork belly recipe. He calls it a porchetta. And it's one of the most amazing things I've ever eaten in my life is a Mad Jack porchetta. The guy's down in the Marshall area, and he's a caterer, and you've had him up for your anniversary celebrations. And Mad Jack's line is 100 people long, and everybody's like 10.
Yeah.
Everybody else. Yeah, that porchetta is an unbelievable thing. Well, hey, guess what, Tim? We're not done with pork. We got to cover this whole ground meat side, so we're going to hit that in the next segment. But you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's a trip around the meat market. You're not going to want to miss us. Stick with us. We'll be back.